And we've got Bibles this morning. If you don't have a Bible and you need one, I'm going to have the ushers just come down the aisles right now and just shoot up your hand. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to look at a couple of verses. Many of them will be on the screens, but I'm going to start with a couple of verses that are not. So if you didn't bring one this morning, they'll hand one to you. Just raise your hand. You're welcome to keep this. It's our gift to you. If you don't have a Bible and maybe you just forgot yours this morning, you can leave it in the seat after the service, and that would be just fine. If you would, turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Satan's lies. We know the very nature of Satan is that he is the father of lies, that he is a deceiver and he's a destroyer, and his goal and his aim is to take the truth and to twist it in any way that he can so that you and I do not believe what it is that God desires us to believe. Satan wants to twist just a little bit the truth. And that's often how he works, is he takes the truth and he just twists it just enough to where we're not believing what is exactly right. We're believing something just a little bit less than what is right. But when we're believing something that's a little bit less than what is right, we oftentimes miss the whole thing about what God wants to teach us. And some of you might have noticed yesterday in the paper they had this ugly mug on the front page of the Sentinel, and a picture of our billboard out on 198, and some of you have seen that as you drive by, I'm sure at the speed limit on 198, so you can read the entire thing. We made it very short because we know you guys like to drive quickly, but it just says, you know, it's a message from Satan, avoid Koinonia Christian Fellowship. And the whole reason that we did that is because we believe, I mean, obviously it's tongue-in-cheek and we're having fun with it. You've seen the messages from God billboards, and we figure, well, what can we do to maybe just create a little buzz and get people thinking about going to church? But the reality is we believe that Satan is real. We believe Satan is real. Heaven and hell are real places, and we do not want people to go to hell. We do not want anyone in Kings County to go to hell. And we have got to do whatever we can to communicate that message to people. And Satan's lies, this whole series, we're talking about love, we're talking about family, we're talking about many different things that Satan lies to us about, but we have an enemy, and he is alive, and he is active, and he is attempting to destroy and to deceive. Ephesians chapter 6, and the second half of the chapter, starting in verse 10, it talks about the armor of God. And just says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul says, listen, guys, listen, Christians. There is a battle. There is a struggle. It is going on. It is real. We may not see it always with our physical eyes because it is of a spiritual nature, but there is a battle going on. And actually, in this verse in 12, he's talking about the types of powers that there are. It says, not against flesh and blood, not physical wars that are going on, although there are physical wars, and we know how physical wars happen. There are weapons that are used in physical wars, but there are also weapons that are used in spiritual wars. And so our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, powers, and it says spiritual forces. And what Bible scholars will tell you is that what Paul is listing off here is actually levels of demonic power. See, there is a Satan, there is a devil, he is a real created being, but he is only one being, and he is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at one time. He is not omniscient, he doesn't know everything, but he happens to have many minions of demons, of demonic powers. And we learn from the scripture that they are actually fallen angels. It appears that one-third of heaven, one-third of all the myriads of angels, it says, actually went with Satan, were cast out of heaven when Satan tried his coup d'etat, when he tried to throw out the Father God and rebelled against him. Satan and one-third of the angels were cast out of heaven. So we know there's Satan. We know he has many angels that oftentimes appear as angels of light that are at work, many demonic presences, powers. And the truth is that Satan himself is probably not interested in you as an individual. Satan probably doesn't know your name. Thank God. I don't think Satan knows my name, because Satan is interested in the powers of this world. He's interested in the Hitlers of this world. He is where the power is. Now, there's not a whole lot of power in terms of political power for standing in this person right here, and more than likely there's not the kind of power politically and economically sitting in your seat there, but there certainly are many other demonic forces at work in this world, and you can believe and should believe that over this area, over Hanford and Lemoore, over Kings County, there are appointed principalities and powers, demonic forces that are part of the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness that report to ultimately the king of darkness himself, Satan, and that there is a strategy that is being played out in this area that is a very particular strategy that has to do in this place with things like apathy and hopelessness and drug addiction and all kinds of things, and that is a strategy of hell itself. And that is a spiritual battle that is being waged all of the time, that if we are not aware of it, we are simply being foolish. Verse 11, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Have you ever experienced an evil day? Anybody ever had an evil day? I have had evil days. There will be evil days in your life. If you haven't had one, you are going to have one, right? Now, if you haven't had one, I'd like to talk to you, find out what the secret is, right? But there will be evil days. Just because you know Christ and you're part of his kingdom doesn't mean that you're not going to have evil days. Actually, you're going to have evil days. The reason that you need to be prepared with the armor of God is because there will be evil days. And it says, what do you do in those moments? Stand your ground. You need the full armor of God. You need the tools and the weapons that are spiritual to combat the battle that is spiritual. You have to have an armor of God that is of a spiritual nature to combat a warrior, an evil darkness that is spiritual. That is, the weapons of our warfare have to come from the Word of God. They're of a spiritual nature. And sometimes, when you don't know what else is going on, and you don't know why this is happening, and you don't know where else to turn, and you've put on the armor of God and it's still going on, sometimes what you do is just stand. So stand firm then. When you don't know what else to do, you stand. All right, turn to Romans chapter 12. One more verse, and we'll launch into the topic for today. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Strategy of the enemy, the strategy of the enemy to lie to us is to get us to believe something that is not true. Verse 2 in Romans chapter 12, it's on page 788 if you got one of these blue Bibles. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, so much of the way the enemy works is by speaking to our mind, by manipulating our belief system, by attempting to speak to us in a way that twists the truth. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In the New Living Translation, it says, then you will know what the will of God is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, you need to know something. You need to know what it is that God believes about you. You need to know what it is and who you are that this gospel right here, this word says about your nature and your identity. And the problem is that if you don't know what the will of God is, then it's very difficult to speak back to the enemy. It's very difficult for you to combat his lies and his schemes and his strategies because you don't have the appropriate weapons of warfare. So this morning what I want to talk to you about is the lies that Satan talks to us about ourselves. Satan's lies about you. That Satan is interested in getting you to not understand who you are. That he is interested in twisting your identity, the understanding of your identity, such that you never live out the plan that God has for you. God has an incredible plan for you. Every single person in this room this morning, God knows you, he loves you, and he has a plan for you. He is for you and not against you. But how many times do we buy in to the strategy of the enemy and allow him to speak stuff to us about ourselves that is simply not true? And if we believe that, if we allow him to steal our identity, then we will miss out on the fullness of what God has for us in our lives. So many great stories that we have, so many of the great movies that we watch are all about discovering your true identity. Superman didn't know who he was, right? Discovered it one day. Luke Skywalker, born, or at least not born, but he was stuck on this desert planet, kind of looked like Hanford, out in the middle of nowhere. Didn't know what his plan, didn't know what his purpose was in the universe until he discovered through this series of events that he was destined to fight Darth Vader and do all the wonderful things that he did. Think about, maybe it's a better example for this crowd, Dumbo the elephant. Remember Dumbo the elephant? Didn't know who he was until suddenly, somebody reminded me actually that in the movie, the way that he discovered who he was is that he got drunk. And then he flew. Didn't know. He didn't know he was a flying elephant. Didn't know he had this great ability, this great talent. Was confused about his true nature inside until something was altered in his state of being. In this case, in the case of Dumbo, it was maybe in drinking a little too much. But the truth is that something needs to be altered in your state of being, so that you truly understand and come to a belief about who you really are in Christ. See, you have to be so full of something so that your perspective is changed. In this case, you need to be so full of the Holy Spirit that your perspective is changed. You might need to get drunk. You just need to get drunk on the right stuff, right? It says, don't be drunk with wine, be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Some of us need to get drunk in the right way. So that you get so full that your perspective is altered, that you wake up and you go, oh, what have I been believing for so long? Why do I continue to look at things the wrong way? And then you can begin to perhaps fly. I'm not talking about just feel-good stuff. I'm not talking about, you know, just self-actualization, you know, just self-empowerment type of terminology. I'm not just telling you just repeat good stuff. No, this is more than that. This is getting your belief system in alignment with the Word of God and combining that truth with the power of God. That is transformation for you and for me. I think I've got one example of a perspective. Put up the one guys in the video room of the word. A change of perspective can be a result in, there it is. Oh, you kind of, there you go. What do you see there? You see the picture of the face? Right? See the picture of the face? And I'll turn it sideways. It says liar. Right? How many of you guys saw liar the whole time? Yeah, you know what that means about you. Liar. We've got to change our perspective. We've got to understand and believe what God speaks about us. You know, before I forget to do this, I just want to mention to you a wonderful book that we're recommending that you would read during this series. We're going to be in this series, Satan's Lies, for another approximately 6 weeks. And the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, if you've never read it, is such an incredible a description of the way that the enemy, his strategies are all about getting us to believe certain things, and he'll use everything. He'll use the way that you pray for people to deceive you. He'll use your own spirituality to deceive you. So that's a great book. If you've never read this, I encourage you to do it. It'll even reveal to you some of the things that you're believing in your own life. It's in the library. I mean, we have copies for sale. We're not making money off of them, but, you know, you can get in the library, get it however you want. But let me encourage you to read that. All right, in your outline, in your bulletin, Satan's lies about you, I want to give you five lies that Satan tries to get us to believe about ourselves and about our identity. The first one is this: you are unacceptable. You are unacceptable. Satan will do anything that he can to get you to believe that you are unacceptable to our Heavenly Father. If he can get you to believe that you are unacceptable to Father God, then you remove yourself from his fellowship, not the other way around. He'll tell you you're not up to snuff, you don't have what it takes, you've messed up too many times, you're too far behind to make up the difference, you've wasted your life away, it's too far gone, your relationship, you know, he'll do whatever he can to tell you that you're unacceptable and there's no way for you. But let me tell you, the truth is that you are acceptable to God. Titus 3:7 says this: Jesus treated us much better than we deserve. Thank God, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't deserve to be treated very well by a holy God. But he treated us better than we deserve. He made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life. See, God doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't reward us with his presence because we have behaved good today. The flow of his presence is not on the basis of your performance. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You are acceptable to God. One other verse, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, God could have chosen anyone in the universe, and he chose you. He chose you. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. See, no one can take that away from you. You're a priest in God's house. We act like we're not acceptable. So, you know, you blow up at your kids or your spouse, or you do something that you know you're not supposed to do, and you feel guilty about it, and you mess up again. You do that thing again that just keeps coming back that you promised you'd never do. And what we do is that we move ourselves away from relationship with God because of that. We say, because I've done that, I must be unacceptable, and so I'm going to punish myself. See, God doesn't remove himself from us. We remove ourselves from him. He never breaks fellowship with us. But we do it all the time. I feel bad, so I don't know. I don't feel like I can go to church this week. It's been a bad week. I just really been screwing up in my life. And so we remove ourselves from God. Well, that doesn't make any sense. But I've done it. Anybody ever done that? See, God's saying, whoa, where are you going? You just messed up. This is the time you need to get close to me. My presence is available to you. My healing, my wholeness, my power. But we go, oh, no. I can't talk about God right now. I can't tell my friends about how great he is because I just remember yesterday. Oh, man, yesterday I just did a doozy. Yesterday I lost my temper. Yesterday I, whatever. Fill in the blank. And so we go, okay, I can't... Just let me punish myself for a while, God, and then I'll get back with you in a couple days. Wait till next Sunday. No, you're acceptable to God. Number two, second lie that Satan tells us is that you have little or no value. He tries to attack our value to God. See, if we have low expectations, low understanding of our value, then we put up with a lot of stuff that we wouldn't put up with otherwise because we have a false belief about how much we're worth. I talk to people in abusive situations, and they come to me and they tell me about the abusive situation that they're in, and I just go, this is crazy. You know, you shouldn't be in this relationship. This is hurting you. It's hurting your family. And their belief system, though, has been twisted because of their past. Maybe it was a relationship they had with their father. Oftentimes it's usually with the father or some past relationship. And they have a belief system about themselves that oftentimes they don't deserve any better. That somehow their value is such that this is all that they should be able to expect. And because their value, their self-value, their understanding of who they are inside is too low, they put up with things in their life that they should never put up with. See, and you're valuable to God. You're worth a lot to Him. He's actually interested in you. You have full rights to walk into His throne room. Look at this verse here. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. See, you're so valuable that God actually decided to put His Spirit inside of you. That you're actually the temple of the living God. You come to know Christ, He doesn't just say, yeah, okay, great, you're in. And then, like, ignore you for the rest of time. He says, wow, let me come and put my Spirit, the Spirit of God, inside of you and live there and make you a new creature and work with you and never, ever, ever stop. And I see all your limitations, and I see all your weaknesses, and I see all your shortcomings, and I see all the ways that you see yourself. And you know what? I love you, and you're so valuable to me that I'm going to come and I'm going to set up shop inside of you, and you ain't going to be able to get away, because I'm going to keep working with you. You're valuable to God. You know, you are unique. There's no one else on the earth like you. Thank God, right? I mean, who could take two of you, right? Your relationships are unique. Where you are in your family is unique. Where you are in your work is unique. You are a unique person in the universe. With billions of people on this planet, there's no one else like you. You're that wonderful snowflake. There's no two alike, and you're valuable because of that. See, God has a family that He's creating. The church is a family, and every person has a part to play. You may not fully understand your value, and that is simply because you don't know what it is that God has for you. But God has a plan and a purpose for you that's different than anyone else. He has works for you that are different than anyone else. You have a part to play. Don't ever think that somehow you're without value. That somehow, somebody else can take my place. No, no, no. You're infinitely valuable to the Father. Number three, third lie is that you are unlovable. See, God doesn't just see you as acceptable, right? I mean, we think about acceptable sometimes, and sometimes acceptable is just like just barely above average. Like, yeah, I'll take it because, yeah, it's acceptable. You know, like that hamburger, it's not raw. It's not gross. It's not good, but it's acceptable, right? But so it's not just that you're acceptable to God, and it's not just that you're valuable to God, because so you can have value. It's possible to recognize value in something and not love it. Like, I recognize that there's certain works of art that are worth a lot of money, and I would never put them on my wall because I think they're hideous, right? I look at it and there's no love inside of me for this thing. I recognize that it has value, but in terms of me being attached to it with love, it's not there. See, it's not just that you're acceptable, it's not just that you're valuable, but God actually likes you. Right? Like, He loves us. Like, he wants to spend time with you. Why God would want to spend time with me, I have no idea. I don't want to spend time with myself half the time, right? And yet he loves us so much, he sends his son to die for us. And if it was just you on the earth, he would send his son just for you. Isaiah 54:10 says this, I'm promising now no more anger, no more dressing you down. For even if the mountains walk away and the hills fall to pieces, my love won't walk away from you. My covenant commitment of peace won't fall apart. The God who has compassion on you says so. Wow. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his acceptance and his grace. Thank God he never leaves us or forsakes us. We've got to get it settled in our mind. God is not fickle. He's not like the people that you know, that one day you're their best friend and the next day they could just whatever. He doesn't change his mind about you. He doesn't change his mind. He's already made it up. All right, number four. Fourth lie that the enemy tells us is that you are unforgivable. You are unforgivable. Satan, it's like he likes to spit in our face. Because when somebody spits in your face, there is shame attached to that. You wipe it off, but it's almost like you can't wipe it off, because there is something else that comes with it that sticks on you, and you can't get it off of you. And the enemy would love to spit in your face, and he does it all the time. He brings up in your mind all the stuff that you've done in the past. All the screw-ups that you've done in your life, all the wasted time, all the mistakes, all the should've, could've, would've moments. And he spits it on you and he tries to get you to believe something about your identity. That's just not true. See, because God, he is forgiveness. There is no such thing as a human being that is unforgivable. It does not compute with God. Acceptance and forgiveness is his very nature. When we buy into this idea that somehow I'm not worthy, then we have bought right into the very identity of Satan himself. Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes, without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love. God looks at you, he sees Jesus's covering. Isaiah 43 says this, but you didn't even do the minimum. So stingy with me, so close-fisted, yet you haven't been stingy with your sins. Sound like anybody? Sound like me? You've been plenty generous with them, and I'm fed up. But I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins. God isn't interested in sticking your sin in your face. God is interested in dealing with it. Let me read this to you. Satan wants you to feel guilty. God wants to set you free. Satan wants you to believe you will never overcome your terminal tendencies. God wants you to know he is the tendency terminator. Don't let the enemy stick his identity on you. He may be unforgivable. You know what Satan's future is? Eternity in hell. He's going to hell. He wants to stick his future on you. Your destiny in Christ is forgiveness and victory and an eternity of joyful celebration with the one who created the universe. So the next time the enemy talks to you about your past, talk to him about his future. Right? Tell him where he's going. I know where you're going, you liar. Get out of my face. I'm a child of God. Get out of my face. I'm a son of the King. I'm a daughter of the King. Shut your mouth. You don't have anything to say to me. Why? Because I'm chosen, right? I'm a royal nation. I'm part of the priesthood of God. I'm part of the family of the living one. No one can stand between me and God. You don't have any room. Settle it in your mind. All right, number five. Number five, the fifth lie that the enemy tells us is that we are incompetent. We are incompetent. Anybody ever feel incompetent? Like you just don't got it? Like, what am I doing here? Like, why in the world did they ask me to preach today? I don't know. I don't got what it takes, right? I mean, how many times have we just felt like you don't have enough education, you're too far behind, you're not related to the right people, you're born in the wrong family, you live in the wrong place. I mean, you name it, all the reasons that we can come up with why we don't have what it takes, the enemy reminds us about it all the time. And we buy into it far too easily. You heard it this morning on the team. Robert Lightgib, he says, you know, what's the lie of the enemy? Well, then I ain't the one to go on this trip, right? What are they doing picking me? Well, the great thing is that in Christ, you are competent. Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians, such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. See, it's okay if you don't know everything that you think you should know. It's okay if you're not the most educated person in the room. It's okay if you don't have the highest IQ. Actually, a lot of times that's pretty good. Because Scripture says is that when I am weak, he is strong. Right? I mean, when you need to God, it's so amazing. When we need God to show up, it seems like that's when he shows up. Right? But when I don't need him to show up, he doesn't show up. It's like, I got this one, God, and I think I got it. And he, you know, he just kind of says, okay, well, go for it. Now, usually it doesn't end up very well. It's when we are broken. It's when we don't got it. It's when we don't have the education, when we don't have the skills, when we don't have the abilities, when we just feel completely inadequate. Those are the moments when Father God himself shows up. Let me just give you two reasons why you're confident. Number one, you're confident because of God's word. And secondly, you're confident because of his spirit. See, the weapons of our warfare are the word of God and the spirit of God. Two pretty important weapons. That's why you've got to get the word inside of you. See, it's not just enough to hear me talk about who you are in Christ today. This is why you need to be reading the word of God, because we live in a world that is full of deception and lies, and the longer we're in it, every day we begin to get this twist on our understanding of who we are, and we come back to God's word, and it realigns our belief system about who we are, and about who he is, and about the nature of the universe, and about all these types of things, the truth of who God is. We combine that with the power of his spirit, and that equals transformation. We begin to see something different. Philippians 4:13, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. You don't got it at work? No problem. You're a doctor, you don't got it? Not a problem. You're a mechanic, you don't got it? The most intelligent person in the universe is Jesus Christ. He knows everything, right? He is the best at anything that you could imagine. Why? Because he created everything, right? Talk about the greatest physician. Talk about the greatest mechanic. Talk about the greatest, you name it. He's got the skills to pay the bills. And we act like, oh, I don't know where to go. I don't know who to ask. I don't know. Maybe ask Jesus. Maybe he'll make you competent. Well, maybe he will. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am competent. Why? Because he says. Not because I feel competent today. Not because I just, oh, yeah, I'm competent. No. Because I am competent because I am in Christ. Because his very nature is inside of me. And because I rely on his Spirit, then I see him strong. Would you stand this morning? We're out of time. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Do not buy in to this thing about your identity. All he wants to do is to get you to somehow believe that you are not worthy of God's plan, that you are not able to walk in his steps, that you cannot do the things that he's called you to do. He will get and do everything that he can to distract you from that. And it's time that you and I tell him to shut up. Some of us need to do that right now. Right now. Right now, just close your eyes for just 1 second, you and God, and you begin to tell the enemy to shut up, to get out. You have no place. You're a liar, devil. I'm not going to believe what you have to say anymore. I'm not going to buy into your vomit, to the spit that you try to stick on me. My identity is in Christ, and I'm not going to buy into what you have to say any longer. I am loved. I am confident. I am acceptable. I have all that I need in Christ. Everything is mine in him who died for me. Lord, I just pray right now that you would give us a revelation of our identity in you. That we, Lord God, would no longer believe the deception of hell. That we would recognize it when it speaks to us in the night hour, and in the moments of failure, and in the times of fear and anxiety and terror. When the enemy begins to speak into our ear, we would hear, Lord Jesus, it for what it is. Vile from hell, and that we would speak to it with weapons from heaven. Words of the Word of God, the power of your Spirit, that we would combat with truth that which the enemy brings against us. Do this, I pray, in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. If I could have the prayer team just come forward. I could have the prayer team come forward, and if you are experiencing a battle in your life and you know this is big for you, just come up and receive prayer this morning. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. See you tonight.